Welcome to the Our Lady of Perpetual Help podcast series, recorded live at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Catholic Church in Ellicott City, Maryland. This homily is from the 10th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2018.
In the first reading tonight, we hear of the work of the enemy. You know he's real. Evil is real, and not just in an abstract sense, but throughout the scriptures, Jesus himself speaks of the enemy in very personal terms. It's part of our Christian faith, is our belief that there is one who, a personal being who is directly opposed to the Lord, and in as much as the Lord wants us for himself and has worked to redeem us, he is opposed to us as well. And in the first reading, when he makes his appearance into the world, there is foreshadowed here a struggle that every one of us is part of. When the Lord says to the serpent, to the enemy, he speaks of this enmity that will exist not only between Adam and Eve and the serpent, but between all of their descendants and all of the offspring of the enemy. It's a setup, a foreshadowing for what every single one of us has experienced. We've talked a lot about the work of the enemy at different times, especially during Lent, when we begin that season with the readings that focuses in on that. You all know well about that. We've talked about how the enemy will make use primarily of deception and the lie. It's what he did to Adam and Eve. It's what he uses primarily to lead us astray. Remember that because behavior follows belief, the way you think leads to the way that you act. Because behavior follows and flows out of belief, the enemy starts there. And we've talked a lot about that, how often a door can be opened because of a situation that we grew up in life, a particular trauma that we experience, some event happens in life, and because of that, a certain wound that disposes us maybe to believing something that's not true, and how the enemy will come in and speak lies constantly in order that believing them, we might live life differently, not fully alive in our relationship with the Father and with one another the way that we're supposed to. So he will do that. He also will look for openings by way of our passions. These are the two areas where we are most susceptible in our thinking and at the level of our passions. And it can very often happen, and you've all experienced this before, times when it seems, you know, that something will just kind of come upon you that doesn't seem to have like a fully human kind of origin. Like we've all had days where the day started off on the wrong foot, and by the end of the day, just with a whole bunch of stuff building up, you just lose all patience. But you can look and you can kind of see how it was just gradually building the whole day. But there are other times when you can be having a relatively good day, and something maybe at work, there's a small trigger, and you are consumed with a certain anger or frustration or jealousy, and it sets upon you so quickly that you yourself are startled by what you feel. And the suddenness and the rush with which it comes upon you leaves you wondering, like, where did that come from? That can happen with anger, it can happen with lust, it can happen with envy, you name it. But very often when that happens and we kind of feel like, gosh, where did that come from? That's usually a pretty good indication that there's something playing out spiritually as well. So this is where the enemy often wants to work. When the Lord Jesus entered into the world, one of the greatest signs that he was ushering in the kingdom of the Father was the power and the authority with which he set hearts free. It was so clearly a part of his early ministry that in the gospel tonight, this is just Luke or Mark chapter 3, already he is well known as one who exercises a power and authority over unclean spirits that no one else does. And the scribes, they say, well, we know where he gets the power. He gets the power from the devil himself. And the Lord's response is, wait, just think about what you said. Does that even make sense? If Satan is casting himself out, then he's totally divided, and that his kingdom, his house, won't even stand. But logically, that doesn't even make sense. So he dismisses the false thinking of the scribes, and then he says, here's what's really going on. By way of this very tiny little parable, he explains what's happening. He says this, no one can enter a strong man's house to plunder his property unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can plunder his house. In this very tiny parable, the strong man that Jesus is referring to is the devil, the enemy. His house, his domain, is how he's been operating in the world freely until the coming of the Son of Man. And what he's taken and stolen from others and brought to himself into his own house, that's us. That's every human heart held bound by the enemy. And Jesus says, when you have a strong man like that, operating that way, there's only one way that you can get to what he's claimed as his own and set it free, and that is to have someone stronger who's able to enter into his house, tie him up, hold him bound, in order to then set free and release what he's taken. And that's Jesus. He is speaking here exactly of his mission. This is what he's done. He has come to us who have been held bound and held hostage by all the work of the enemy, and with a power greater than the enemy, binding him up, he's come to release us. And this is not just a side part of his ministry. In every celebration of baptism, this central part of salvation is expressed in a very beautiful prayer. It's a prayer we offer before the baptism itself, and it prays this. It says to the Father, Almighty and ever-living God, you sent your only Son into the world to cast out the power of Satan, spirit of evil, to rescue man from the kingdom of darkness and bring him into the splendor of your kingdom of light. That's it. Like, that's what he's come to do. Like, spiritually, this is like the SEAL Team 6, like dropping in right to the heart of where the enemy is, tying him up, getting rid of him in order to rescue those held hostage. That's us. That's what the Lord has come to do. This is central to his ministry. So there is a power in the Lord that you and I are able and are supposed to receive in order to live in freedom from the enemy. The Lord wants that for us. That's what he's come to do. So three very practical ways that you and I are able to tap into and receive the power of the Lord who comes into the very dwelling of the enemy and binds him up that we might be free. The first is so beautifully simple, it's so rich, it's such a deep, long-standing part of our Catholic life, and it's the holy water that you bless yourselves with as you come into church and as you leave. Holy water, when we bless it, we are praying that it would be a source of renewal for the graces of baptism. And when you come into church and you bless yourself with the holy water, and when you very deliberately are praying, Lord, release me from the work of the enemy, set me free, renew in me the graces of baptism, something happens in that. Did you know in every single baptism, there is a prayer of exorcism? Don't know if you ever knew that, but it is part of the very rite itself. In fact, that prayer that I shared with you just a moment ago from baptism, that's the first half of the prayer of exorcism that the priest or the deacon prays over those to be baptized. When you bless yourself with holy water and you are sincere and you're deliberate about it, there is a very real working of God's freedom in you, or at least there's supposed to be, but we have to cooperate with that. But I want you to know that is one beautiful way of tapping into the power that the Lord has. And not just here at church, but to take the holy water home with you. It's such a beautiful, long tradition for us as Catholics as a way of acknowledging, Lord, I'm in a battle and I need you to free me. Here's the second very practical and most powerful way that we are able to tap into that power. One of the best known modern-day exorcists is, well, he died about a year and a half ago, but he was the exorcist for the Diocese of Rome. He died in his early 90s and was active up until death in that ministry. His name was Father Gabriel Amorth. Lots of documentaries were done about him. The most recent came out just this past spring by the director of the original exorcist movie, who accompanied him in a couple of his own exorcisms. But Father Gabriel said this. He said, remember that when we pray the prayers of an exorcism for someone who is in like the deep, deep grip of the enemy, that exorcism is at its heart a prayer of blessing. That's what that is. You know that an exorcism is not a sacrament. So Father Gabriel and many other contemporary exorcists have said this: there's far greater power in freeing us from the enemy when you turn to the sacraments, especially confession. And so another contemporary exorcist who works in another diocese has often said this: one good, sincere confession is worth 100 exorcisms. And maybe you've never thought of that. It's a startling thing to hear, and yet there's great truth in that. If you want to be delivered from the power of the enemy, there's no greater way than to bring your heart to the Lord and to his mercy, acknowledge the sins that you've deliberately said yes to, and ask the Lord for his mercy, and then pray, Lord, close every one of those doors to the enemy that I opened up by way of deliberately choosing sin. And many exorcists have that same way of thinking. They say, if you really want to experience the power of deliverance, make a good, sincere confession. So that's the second way, most powerful way. The third is this: in your own prayer, invoke the power and the authority of the Lord into those areas where you know that there's a struggle. I've shared with you in the past the beautiful ministry of Unbound that our parish and other regional parishes in our area share in. It's a Catholic ministry of deliverance. It's aimed at helping us experience the very freedom that we're talking about tonight. But I've shared with you, at the heart of the Unbound ministry is a very simple, beautiful prayer that when we identify areas where we know the enemy is at work, like a day when that anger or lust or envy or pride has parked itself over your heart and it's just like this heavy, dark cloud, that you would pray this very simple prayer: in the name of Jesus, I renounce a spirit of anger. In the name of Jesus, I renounce a spirit of pride. In the name of Jesus, I renounce a spirit of lust. Whatever it might be, but in that very simple prayer, we are invoking the authority of the Lord specifically into whatever area. And by saying, I renounce, what we mean is, Lord, I want that door closed. To say, I renounce, it's baptismal language. It's part of the baptismal renunciation of sin and profession of faith. So the power and the authority of the Lord is real. He came to deliver us from the work of the enemy. We need to be in a place to experience that and welcome it. And these are three practical ways to tap into that power. There are so many others, but the whole of our life is meant to be a life where the Lord Jesus is freeing us from the enemy and bringing us into the authentic freedom of God's sons and daughters. That's what he wants for us. That's what he's come to give. Let's pray tonight that the Lord will open us up to cooperate with him, because it's not enough to know it. We need to live daily life in such a way that we are ready to receive the power and the authority of the Lord, to share in his victory over the enemy.
Thank you for listening to the Our Lady of Perpetual Help podcast series. We invite you to visit our website at www.olphparish.org to get connected with everything our parish has to offer.